Leaf fans, welcome to the Edmonton Oilers plight over the last 6 years, because I don't see any way that this is a good trade for Toronto. I can understand if they want to trade Kessel, but you at least got to get something for Phil Kessel. Dave Festchuk from the Toronto Star and TSN Radio in Toronto joins us. Dave, everybody, well, not everybody, but many people are claiming this was a move the Leafs had to make. Why?
Yeah, I don't tend to agree with those people, Jason. I really don't. I understand where they're coming from. Brendan Shanahan has taken over this team. He's a year plus into the job. He's surveyed the scene, and he's identified the problem, or at least he thinks he has. And one of the institutional problems in Toronto has been just a terrible dressing room atmosphere of underachievement. And they pinned it on Phil Kessel yesterday by shipping him out to the Pittsburgh Penguins for, as you said very accurately, a whole lot of maybe, a whole lot of hope, a whole lot of ifs, and very little in return for a player that, as you point out, is an elite scorer who never misses games and definitely has an identifiable skill that's difficult to reproduce and find in the NHL. So I think they could have waited longer. I don't think there was any pressing need to trade him yesterday or tomorrow or next year, for that matter. I think you hired a $50 million coach in Mike Babcock who could have easily handled the problem that is Phil Kessel, if indeed Phil Kessel was a problem, and there's every indication he was. And I think you should have waited to maximize your asset. This is just another case of classic bad asset management by the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it sets a franchise back when you pay when you buy high, as the Leafs did with Phil Kessel, famously trading a couple of first-round picks that became Tyler Seguin and Dougie Hamilton, and you sell low, which they did yesterday.
And you know what? It's funny you mention that, because at the time of the trade, two first-round picks, no one expected him to be, you know, number two and number nine overall, that's for sure. And it seems that there were some people, well, Phil Kessel never lived up to being Seguin and Hamilton. Well, it's not his fault that management surrounded him with nothing, so they became one of the worst teams in the league, right? Like, I look at Phil Kessel, and he has played with arguably, collectively, one of the worst center groups in the NHL the last 5 years, and has still managed to produce.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I think there's Kessel's defenders had made that point repeatedly during his time in Toronto, and there's really no argument against that. I mean, you know, Tyler Bozak was the number one center in Toronto, but he's not a number one center anywhere credible, right? And the fact that those two, Bozak and Kessel, were basically the alpha males of the locker room was very concerning to the Maple Leafs. Because their work habits were not up to par. I mean, these guys are the first guys off the ice at most practices, and you heard much worse about their practice habits behind the scenes. Beyond that, though, you're right. This was the Leafs failing to surround Kessel with the proper type of talent. Now the irony is he's going to go to a situation in Pittsburgh where it's going to be perfect for Phil Kessel, because he's not going to have to be the number one guy. Phil, you know, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin will take care of being number one and 1A, and Phil Kessel won't be called upon to do daily media duties because Sid Crosby takes care of that, and he'll have elite centers to feed him. The type of elite centers the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't had since Matt Sundin left town. And again, it was inherent in the Phil Kessel era that the Leafs were doing something you can't win doing, which was building around a winger.
Dave Festchuk from the Toronto Star and TSN in Toronto joined us. And great point about building around a winger. So what are the Leafs doing now? I thought Brendan Shanahan went as far as you can say without saying, we're basically going to suck for the next few years, asking for patience, and you have to have the thick skin and go through it. Because I look at, you know, they trade out Phil Kessel. They've acquired Mark Arcabello and Martin Marincin, who couldn't be regulars in Edmonton. And Edmonton's a bad team. So, like, Toronto, to me, is a team that is in a full-on rebuild. Are they not? Like, is Dion Phaneuf the next guy to go? What's the plan?
Yeah, it's definitely a full-on rebuild. I mean, Mike Babcock really, you know, set the bar for expectations on the day he was hired during the Stanley Cup playoffs when he said, and I quote, there will be pain. You know, it's gonna be painful. Leaf fans are used to it, of course. They've been very numb to the pain for most years since 1967, as everybody knows. But I'm not sure about the DFNF trade. I really felt DFNF reached a breaking point last season. You know, he's been another guy who's been miscast as a number one guy, a la Bozak. He's not a number one defenseman. The Leafs have expected him to be a number one defenseman. He's not a captain-like personality, and yet the Leafs foisted the captaincy on him 20-something games into his career in Toronto, which was an ill-advised move. And I think that's worn on Diafanov. I think Diafanov is a player that gives his best on the ice most nights. I think Diafanov is a guy who could be useful to a team if his contract wasn't as onerous as it is at $7 million a year. And if he was used properly in say, a 3-4 slot with his veteran savvy and knowledge, and you didn't have to play 25 minutes a night as he's playing in Toronto, I think he'd be quite effective. But, you know, there is the rumble that Babcock had a relationship with Phaneuf and would like to coach him, and they've got to have somebody to run out there. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that's going to be really interesting is they're going to be pretty bad. But, you know, as we all know, Mike Babcock has zero tolerance for losing. Mike Babcock's doesn't want to lose for a season. He doesn't want to lose for a period. So his patience is going to be tested. Kyle Dubas, the assistant GM, or I guess the interim co-general manager, as they're calling it in Toronto right now, along with Mark Hunter, said not too long ago that the plan is not to lose. So I don't believe they're in a tank job for Austin Matthews in the number one pick in the 2016 draft. But I just think by when you look at their roster, it's hard to imagine, outside of Babcock's genius, which I think is, you know, can't be underestimated because he's brought some pretty marginal teams into the playoffs. It's hard to imagine them being all that good.
Dave, in Edmonton, the coach always used to be the scapegoat every year. They'd fire the coach. He's the problem. And that was never the problem. And I got a sense from far away, and I'm not close to it, that yes, Phil Kessel had some warts. There's no doubt about it. I'm not saying that he was this great leader. Some guys just aren't leaders. But Phil Kessel did his job on the ice, which is to score. He was never Jonathan Toews or Patrice Bergeron on any level of hockey, so no one should ever expect him to be this two-way player in the NHL, at least for me. So was he the scapegoat? Is he the guy that they're going to send, okay, no more bad attitudes. That's the problem with us. It's not a lack of talent. It's bad attitudes that are holding us down. Is that their message?
Well, that was certainly a big part of Shanahan's message yesterday. You know, he really talked, and Mike Babcock has said the same. You know, they're talking about how you've got to be a good human being, were the words that Mike Babcock used to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's going to be, you know, sort of the job description number one, is be a good human being, which, you know, they didn't say Phil Kessel isn't one, but it is some kind of a coincidence then that he's the first guy out the door after they say that thing. I think what they mean by that, it's not about, you know, it's not about the way you conduct yourself. It's the way you come to work, right? I mean, and Phil Kessel's work habits were terrible. So I do think there was something to that. I think there was, when you get $8 million in a $64 million deal, I think you owe it to your employer. You owe it to the fans who essentially pay that salary to show up in shape, which Phil Kessel never did, to give full effort on your shifts, which Phil Kessel often did not. So you can't, you know, sort of release Phil Kessel of responsibility for the way he quit so often on this team, and especially in the latter halves of the past couple of seasons. If you watch the Leafs closely, I mean, he was just brutal in terms of just not giving everything he had, and it was as plain as day if you watch the shifts, and it was as plain as day if you looked at the Corsi of his line. If you want to get into the analytics, like, they were a possession nightmare and a plus-minus nightmare because they just didn't play both ends of the ice. But you're right, though. Ultimately, this comes down to, in the larger scope of things, this is a very Leaf-esque situation where they just haven't been able to attract and develop and draft the type of talent you need to win in this league. They haven't had star players. They haven't won a major NHL award since Dougie Gilmore won the Selke in the early 90s. All those things. They're supposed to be the center of the hockey universe. They're supposed to have a built-in advantage with all their riches and all their other built-in advantages of being in the center of the hockey universe. And it turned it into a whole lot of zilch. This is the latest in a line of really highly touted hockey men and trying to make it right. But so far, the record of those guys hasn't been that great, so we shall stay tuned and see.
Quickly, Phil Kessel, how many goals is he scoring in Pittsburgh next season?
My goodness. I mean, he got 25 this year. He topped out in Toronto at 37 playing with Tyler Bozak. There are rumblings that he is going to get committed to offseason training this year with Gary Roberts, although I haven't actually, haven't heard of any a drop of sweat actually hitting the floor yet on that front. I got to think, though, just, him rolling out of bed and out of shape, playing with a couple of centers like Evgeny Malkin and Sid Crosby, you got to say the over-under sits at about 42.
Yeah, well, he five-time 30-goal man. Then he had 20 goals in the shortened season of 48, which is obviously basically another 30-goal season. 25 was his career low since his rookie or second season in Boston. So, no, I think even if he gets in a little bit better shape. And the other thing is, he's going to go to Pittsburgh, and he doesn't have to look upon to be the leader. I don't think he's a leader, which is fine. Not every guy is a leader to be a good player. I think he goes there, and he just has to contribute. Because for me, off of the wing, I still look at Phil Kessel as one of the five most dangerous players in the offensive zone.
Oh, I don't disagree. I mean, he is awesome at his best. When he gets a step and he can release that full stride, kind of really bedeviling wrist shot, which I've talked to so many goalies about, and they talk about how because he lets it go at full stride with that super flexy stick of his, it's a very deceptive shot. Goalies have a hard time picking it up, and we've seen him in Toronto these past six seasons score so many goals off of it. To think about him being fed by a legit, creative, number one, world-class center, it will be fun to watch, and I think Leaf fans are going to have a hard time watching it.
Dave, we appreciate your time. It should be an interesting time in Toronto. I'm going to tell you right now, buckle in, because when you start giving away players for nothing, I've seen it firsthand, it rarely ends well for your organization.
Yeah, well, the Leaf history is dotted with these moments, and history, as Jason, tends to repeat itself.
Great point, Dave. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jason.